Did you guys enjoy this series? We got some great new series coming up, but today is the last day for a top model. Let me give you a little bit of what's going to happen in the next few months, and our series will be only going for 1 month. So it'll be about 4 weeks, and we have a Fight Club series coming up. This church is going to be transformed. We're going to bring a boxing ring. There's going to be some kickboxing one Sunday. Sparring, you know, nobody's going to go to the hospital or anything like that. One of our guys here has been in that world, and he kind of set up some people for us. So we'll have different wrestling, we'll have boxing, we'll have like taekwondo. So we'll have different things here in church. So just get excited about it. And then in February, we're going to be teaching on Songs of Solomon. It's probably going to be called like Sex in the City or something. But there's going to be 6 lessons from Book of Songs of Solomon. So you guys need to get excited. You need to bring your friends here because this is going to be amazing, all right? Luke 15:11. Let's read Luke 15:1, okay? Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This Jesus man receives sinners and eats with them." Now let's go to verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, a young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted the possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to citizens of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that swine ate, and no one gave it to him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way away, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found.' And they began to be merry. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a calf for him.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Father, so many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" The focus of my message today is on repentance of a prodigal son and on forgiveness of an eldest brother. This passage is for people who don't struggle so much with running from God as they are struggling with condemning those who do. If you have been a Christian for a while, for some years, at one point or another have wondered in your mind, how does God look at people who backslide, often multiple times, and returns to God many times, kind of like a prodigal son to his father? In this parable, we're going to look at 2 things. The forgiveness of the father and of the brother, oldest brother, and we're going to look at true repentance. Okay? Now, in order for us to come to God, we all had to come to God once. Amen? Each one of us had to make a decision, confess that we were sinners, and run back to God. So this story is about all of us. And maybe today, you're far away from that moment. Maybe it has been a year or 2 years or 3 years since you've accepted, you know, since you repented. And maybe for some, you're still running away from God. And some miraculous way, you've got invited to new life, and you're kind of, you don't know what to expect. So this message is for both types of people. This message is for those who are still to repent, and this message is for how do we receive a person who repents. Now, in this parable, the father responds to true repentance of the heart. Would you agree? Today I want to talk about true repentance. How do we discern between true and false repentance? Now, why do I struggle and why do I preach this message today? Because I've struggled with this. I've been in church for a long time. And maybe I don't do big sins. I sin, but maybe I don't sin some other sins. And I've struggled with this because we work with a lot of people in New Life Church who kind of, who start living for God. And then they fall back. Then they come back. And then they fall back again. And then, and I would get so angry on the inside. You know, I'd smile on the outside. I'd be like, Jesus loves you. Oh, you're right. You know, and so I struggled with this for many weeks, for many months, and finally I came to the point where I was angry. I mean, I had no love. At one point, you know, one person fell, second person fell, third person fell. I mean, I was so praying about that person. I was meeting and counseling them and telling them what to do, and and they would just keep falling. And I got so angry, and I blew up a little bit, and then I was at work, and was working, and God was speaking to me. He's like, why are you so upset? They fell away from me, not from you. But yeah, God, you know. And then he spoke to me in an interesting way. He said, if you had 10 sons and one of them would leave and totally embarrass your family and totally go and live in sin, how long would you wait before you disowned him? And I said, you know, Lord, maybe when I didn't have any kids, I would say, oh, after a year or two, you know, I disowned a boy. Or girl, you know? I mean, when I became a father, I understood that I would never disown my son. Doesn't matter what sin he was struggling with. Doesn't matter what he was going through. Every time my son would come and repent and say, Father, please forgive me, I would do it. And so when he spoke to me that way, he said, what do you think I am? All these people in the world, they're my children. And I love them very much. And I'm waiting for them to come. And he pointed me to this message and he said, you're acting like the oldest son. Father, I have never transgressed none of your commandments. And that's not true. We all sin multiple times, Bible says. But we repent, obviously. Now, there's a difference between some sins and others. Amen? Let's say you sin, you got angry. That's a difference between when you went and used drugs. Right? Because when you're angry, your anger will die. I mean, the anger will burn down. But when you're on drugs, it's hard to come back. Have you noticed that people who have problem with anger, it's easier for some reason for them to return to the Lord? When people go and commit adultery, it's so much harder because the guilt is so much stronger. Now, so I want to tell you that there is a difference between sins. Don't let somebody come to you who is living an illicit lifestyle and say, well, you're a sinner too, so there's no difference. Yes, there is. Bible talks about sin unto death. And sin that is not unto death. And I'm not going to go into details. Let the Lord speak to you about that. I'm not going to tell you what sins are to death and what are not. It doesn't say there. But there is a difference. And how do we know it? We know it by the response that people make after they commit sin. Some sins, you repent and you go back to the Lord. Some sins, you're gone for half a year before you're totally down there. You know what I mean? So some sins are committed inside the father's house, that's true, and some sins are committed in a far country. Okay? Would you agree? It's in the Bible. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Now, let's look what true repentance is. Okay, that's what we want to see today. How do we discern? And let's look at verse 17. But when he came to himself, all right? A person who commits true repentance comes to himself. What does that mean? Comes to his senses. When a person comes to realization that what he has done is wrong. So true repentance, and a lot of times, guys, I've seen people repent and they run to God and they're almost looks like sincere, but then they go back and do the same thing. I don't think sometimes people do true repentance. They don't come so much to their senses, but they feel guilt. I've seen this over the time of my pastorship. I have seen that when people get in trouble with the law, they start repenting. Pastor, you know, I'm going to be here this Sunday. I'm going to be in church this Sunday. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, great. And I believe them. I really, they have best intention. But then something happened. They bailed themselves out. And I guess it wasn't that bad. They went back to their lifestyle. Okay? So this man came to his senses. He realized that what he has done was wrong. If you're dealing with some sin right now in your life and it's been bothering you, nothing will happen until you come to your senses. Being guilty is not coming to your senses. Have you ever tried losing weight? I'm going to lose weight. You never actually do it. But when you come to your senses, you don't say, I'm going to do it. You're doing it. Okay? When he realized how wrong he was for leaving his father's house, that's what he came to his senses for. When he realized that his so-called glamorous life that he was thinking it's going to be has brought him to a ruin. It all came to him. He came to his senses. It's like his mind came to be clear. You know, sometimes you want to make the right decision, but your mind is messed up. And until you come to your senses, you'll be like a person who digs a hole and hoping that the way to get out is to dig deeper. You know, a lot of times and I've done this, I hope that I don't have to do it God's way. I hope that somehow I could work hard and make it my way. And eventually I had to come to my senses. It's not going to work. I have to do it God's way. Okay? So this dude came to his senses. Okay? How do we discern between false and true repentance? Number two, he realized that his heart was deceived. Verse 17b. Look at this. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I perish from hunger? So he came to realization that his heart was deceived. Now, being deceived is thinking you're right when in reality you're wrong. Okay? It's like this. 2 + 2 is what? 4. If you're deceived, you think it's 5. Yeah. And no matter what people tell you, they come to you and say, no, it's 4. And it's useless to talk to you. That's why we pray for the deceived. Because there is nothing you can do. It doesn't matter how much you argue with that person. If they're deceived, you can't help it. Amen? So this man was thinking, I can go and have a real life. You know, in my father's house, in the church, being a Christian is not really, you know, fun. It's always like, don't do this, don't do that, you know. I really want to live. And many, many people who've been in the lifestyle of a prodigal son have told me, I don't ever want to go back there. Because it's not what it seems. It's deceptive. It's deceptive. It's not the reality. And so he came to the truth. I must go to my father's house because in my father's house, it's a better life. Although to me, while I was in the father's house, I thought that the far country with prostitutes and harlots and drunks, it was going to be better. It was going to be more fun. But look where I end up. I'm ruined. I lost everything. He realized that a life out there, outside of his father's kingdom, kills, steals, and destroys. It's an illusion, okay? How do we realize between false and true repentance? He realized that he sinned against heaven, which is God, and his father, which is a human. Now, pay attention to me. Look at me, everyone. Let's look at verse 18 and then look at me. Look what he says. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about this, because this is very important. If you want true repentance, if you want to get rid of something in your life that you've been struggling with, this is how you do it. You confess before God and before man. He does not only repent before God. He said, I sinned against heaven and against you. People, why is it so easy for us to repent before God than before man? Because we know God is not going to open His eternal window, pull out a bat, and smack you upside the head. God is not going to do that. That's why people so easy, oh God, please forgive me. And then they go back and do that. Let me give you a little story. This is a true story out of my life. Many years ago, before as a pastor, I was assistant to my other pastor. And what he asked me was to mail out some letters. And a week passed by and I didn't mail those letters. He met me and he said, listen, did you mail out those letters that I've asked you? And I was, you know, I can't be embarrassed in front of my pastor. I have to, you know. Oh yeah, pastor, I did. And then I left and I went right straight to Lewis on East 10th and Cliff. I remember the details. And I put the letters in there. And then something started bothering me on the inside. It was bothering me so much, and it was a conviction of the Holy Spirit. He will do that to you sometimes. And so He started like nagging me to the point where I started like feeling sweat inside. You know, just like, what is wrong with me? And He said, call Him and apologize and tell Him the truth. And I said, no. Lord, I just repent before You. Jesus, please. I messed up. Forgive me and bless the pastor. And the feeling wouldn't go away. And I called the pastor, and you don't know what I went through, people. Devil doesn't mind you repenting before God, you know? Because who knows who your God is? Who knows if you believe He heard you or not? And if you don't have any fear of the Lord, I mean, it's so easy. God forgive me, you know, I messed up, but who doesn't, you know? Righteous or false, 7 times. Don't judge me, Lord. And I had to call the pastor and say, Pastor, I lied. And there was no other way around it. You have to call him and tell him the truth. And I called him up. Guess what? That got rid of lying out of my life. If you know Pastor Alex, one thing, I mean, I got many imperfections. But you can ask my wife. Lying is not one of them. And I'm not saying this out of pride. That situation has taught me, because I was so humiliated. You know, here, assistant pastor, helping out a pastor, a young 19 or 20 year old guy, you know. Is he going to trust me again? Is he going to allow me to do something for the church again? I was really worried. But guess what? If I only repented before God, I would have been a liar, lying like a dog. But every time, and I slip up sometimes. I'm not saying I don't. And if I say something and I slip up, right away I correct myself. No. Hold on. On the spot, you know? No, I said it wrong. It's like this. You know what I mean? If you want to get rid of a certain sin out of your life, the easiest way is to repent before God and before man. Now, sometimes you can't repent before man because it's going to do damage. So God will show you. But most of the time, you need to, Bible says, go to your brother and tell him that you lied to him. And guess what? That will stop lying in your life. Because that's shame. And our flesh hates to be ashamed. When you're before God, yeah, the flesh doesn't care. But when you come before the brother or sister, amen? All right, let's keep going. So why is it easy for us to repent before God, but not before man? Shouldn't it be all other way around? True repentance does not make excuses for its behavior. Notice this. This younger brother, the prodigal son, did not say it was my older brother's fault that I left. I mean, he was so picky. He was just so horrible I had to leave. He didn't say it was everybody else's fault. It's not my fault that I left. I wouldn't have left, Father, if it wasn't for a brother in church or sister in the church. No, true repentance takes responsibility for its own behavior. And I see so many people who say, well, it's the way I grew up. Yes, it's true. But now you're not a child anymore. You can make the right decision. You can have the right character, the right motives. Amen? So, true repentance does not demand a medal for its heroic achievement. Have you ever been in a place where you did the right thing and then you wanted a medal for it? Look what I've done. A lot of times we come to God and we say, Father, isn't my repenting achievement of itself? That's what a lot of people do. Well, I don't see any change in your life. Well, I repented. Repentance on its own is not so much an achievement. It's a neutralizing point. Now what you're going to do after you repent, that's going to make a big difference in your life. Okay? And a lot of people want God to notice. Look what I've done. I've repented. Call the news media. Call the Argus leader, KSFI. Look what I've done. I was on drugs and I repented. Oh, great. But that's kind of boasting in your heart. You really haven't done much yet. You just repented. You came to the point zero. From negative to point zero. Now what are you going to do? I just want to talk the truth because this is so important. True repentance does not demand the rights of a son. Let's read verse 19b. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Notice what true repentance. When false repentance comes, say, I want a position. I want a name. I want everybody to respect me for what I've done. Well, you got yourself bankrupt. We love you, but, you know, you don't have a place to live. You messed up many relationships. You've hurt a lot of people. Please don't demand to be treated a certain way. Just humble yourself. And that's how all of us should do. We shouldn't demand, you know, well, I was on drugs and look at me. I'm a big hero now. Look what I can do now. I came to Jesus. Great. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to make it real. Is that okay? So look what it says. True repentance does not demand the rights of a son. He says, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy to be who I would be if I didn't leave. But God, if you ever wanted to use me, I don't mind, but I'm not worthy. Don't come with a proud heart. Look at me, a model. I repented. Hallelujah. No, that's pride. Repentance, true repentance, makes a person humble. I mean, it's hard. It's not easy. It's about you. It's not about other people. It's about you. Okay? He says, I don't deserve to be your son. I'm okay just being your servant. Hallelujah. Now, let's look how God responds to repentance. Do you want to know how God responds? In verse 20, it says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. I've seen this happen so many times. My grandparents right now are in heaven, okay? And I had an uncle who was a drug addict, I mean, for 25 years. And I seen how he would destroy their life. And I would see he couldn't keep a job. He didn't have a family. He lived for drugs. 25 years. 25 years. And I would see him come and take their car and they would sell it. They would buy a TV. He would go, you know, and sell everything. And it would be the same thing. He would go and live in the world. I mean, get so much drugs, into him that they had to call the ambulance and take him into the hospital or jail. It was hospital or jail. That's the only way he became clean for a month or so. And for 25 years. And I would see my grandparents and I would be so mad. Because I know how hard my grandpa worked. Grandpa would work in my business. I mean, he would help me start my business, pretty much. He would work 8-10 hour days with me. And he was an old man. He was skinny. And then his son would come, my uncle, and said, Dad, I need money for gas or for food. And my grandpa would always give it to him. And I'm like, ah! I just see God the Father. Maybe He won't give you things. But one thing I know about God, what He showed me, is that doesn't matter how many times you come to repent before Him, He will receive you. You know that God has to follow His own commandments? Do you remember Peter came to Jesus and said, how many times should I forgive a brother a day who sins against me? He said, 7 times, isn't it? And what did Jesus say? 70 times 7, which is 490 times. Well, if God commands us to do it, guess what? He has to follow His own rules. So every time a sinner would come to God, every time a prodigal son, and how do we know this was the first time this prodigal son came to his father? How do we know this was not the 10th time? Because look at the response of his older brother. He was angry. Right? But every time we come to God, He is merciful and forgiving. He will forgive us our sins. Isn't it amazing that we have God like that? Has to follow His own stuff. Now, God doesn't endorse this prodigal behavior. I don't want to tell you this. God does not endorse people going and living a prodigal life. But when you come back with repentance, true repentance, and how many of you know God knows our hearts? Sometimes we don't have power to change because our repentance was fake. But when this man, this son of his, came to his senses, realized that he was deceived, came to his father. Father met him halfway. But he was a great distance away. You know what the Bible says? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The more you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. He will never sit there on a throne and says, well, let's see if you can make it. Come on, let's see it. Nope, you didn't make it. No, Father ran to Him and grabbed Him. I mean, hugged Him and kissed Him. That's who our God is. Father commanded His servants to bring a new clothes, kill a calf, put a ring on his finger. I mean, dress him up. And he said, let's party. My son has come back. Do you know that in heaven, trillions and billions of angels rejoice for one sinner that has come to repentance, true repentance. And a lot of times in the church, you know, somebody falls 4 times and we're ready to give him a boot. We're ready to give him a boot. Now we don't endorse coming and going. No way. But look at the compassion of the Father. And if you were a father, if you were a mother, and if your daughter came to you 10 times and repented, wouldn't you forgive? Or on the 10th time you would say, this is it. My cup overfloweth. So his father dressed him up, met him halfway. His father declared his lost son and dead son found and alive. Pretty much saved. So every time we come to God, guess what? He declares us saved. Now some of you, maybe you've been living away from God and you say, I don't deserve to come back to God. And you know, He will not receive me anymore. I've done so many wrong things. Listen to this message. God says, every time you truly come to me, I will receive you. I will change your clothes. I will make a party for you. Hallelujah. Don't we have an awesome God? And in order for us to reach out to the lost sinners, we have to have the same heart. We have to have the same compassion like our Father. That's why sinners would love to come to God, but not to Christians. Did you notice that? They'd rather come to God, but not to Christians. Because God is so compassionate. He has such a characteristic where every time you come, He says, come son. Come daughter. Oh, we have a long way to go, Christians. We have to have a paradigm shift. We have to put a glasses of God and see the way God sees things. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah. Now, what was the response of the brother? Okay? The good kid. Okay? Notice what the Bible says in verse 28. But he was angry and would not go in. He was angry. Now, this is his brother who was lost. I got to repent because I had the same attitude, the same. When I would see somebody go for 3-4 times, you know, in the world and come back. And then I would be angry. And I was so angry. I mean, that's me over there. Some of you too. It's not you. It's your neighbor. But I was angry. And we don't know if this younger brother has done this before. Right? And so maybe this older brother had a reason to be angry. Maybe he was like, Father, you know, why you keep doing this? I said it to my grandparents. Grandparents, why do you do this? Kick the loser out. See, sometimes when it's not our children, we're ready to kick him out. But when it's our children, oh no, that's my babies. Oh, don't touch my babies. I'll scratch you up. I'll scratch your eyes out, boy. Don't touch my babies. Not about my babies. Yeah, they're not that bad. You know, yes, they're in the world, but you know how people are about their own children. Make all kinds of excuses. But not the brother. But not the older brother. He said, Father, maybe you should give him 6 month trial period. See if he's for real. God says, no. On the first day, I'm going to make a party the minute. That's why sinners come to God, but they are afraid to come to us because we're angry. Again, you. Didn't you do that and that? Didn't I see you on the news? And that's why sinners hate us, Christians. Sometimes we're so religious Christian. How do we? New Life Church, God is doing something. I feel like He's trying to teach us something. Be more like Him. We don't want people from other churches to come here. I mean, we don't mind, but that's not our vision. Our vision is to bring people closer to Jesus who are far away from Him. That's what we're all about. And in order to do that, we have to have the heart of a father. When they come, we're so glad to see them. How did his brother respond, older brother? He would not go in and enjoy the feast. That showed his immaturity. Did you know that? Why? When a child wants attention, he starts being passive-aggressive sometimes. Come on. Have you ever seen children, when they want attention, they start acting out? And maybe this older brother said, in order for me to get some attention in this house, I have to get angry or what? That's how a lot of older believers do. When they see, because New Life Church pays attention to who? To new people. We're all about people who are born again, who just received Jesus. We're all about them. And a lot of times those people who, and usually it's old believers. How come you don't pay attention to me like you do to him or to them? You know, I'm here too. Hey, come join the party. Do you need an invitation? Why does pastor spend all his time with prodigal? That's what Pharisees were saying to Jesus. They were upset that he was eating with sinners and wouldn't pay them enough attention. And Jesus said, sick needs a doctor, not the healed. Listen, if you've been a Christian for a while, this message is totally for you. This is not only for the prodigal, but this is also for a Christian, for a son who's been in the house serving. If you are, don't expect a medal. Don't expect, oh, they didn't announce me today in church. They didn't mention me. Pastor didn't shake my hand. Didn't see you. I'm sorry. It's not about you, older brothers and sisters. It's about the younger brothers. It's about the prodigals. We want to show them such compassion. We want to make such celebration when they come back. Sinners will run to this church if we have a heart of a father of God. And they will run from this church if we have a heart of the oldest brother. I pray that God does a shift in your minds today. I feel the Holy Spirit moving in this place and challenging you to change. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He was passive aggressive, stubborn, resentful. You know what passive aggressive is? Let me read to you. Passive aggressive can manifest as a procrastination, stubbornness, resentment, deliberate, repeated failure to accomplish requested task for someone, often especially explicitly responsible. Let me read example. For example, suppose someone does not wish to attend a party. A passive-aggressive response is, in that situation, might involve taking so long to get ready that the party is nearly over by the time you get there. Oh, they want me there, huh? Oh, they need me there. Oh, I'm not going to be there then. Because it's not about me. It's not my birthday party. Well, if you want people to come to your birthday party. And look at what the father says to his son. Son, all that I have is yours. Listen, I'm not going to worry about you having a party, you big baby. Why don't you get yourself a goat? Why don't you get yourself a camel for all I care? Get yourself all your buddies and have a party. Christian, it's okay for you to get some of your servant buddies in the church and have a party for yourself. Look, it says here in the Bible. But listen, on Sunday, when sons and daughters of God who've been far away from God are coming back to Him, then it's all about them. Our message is about them. Our worship is for them. Our relationship, our attitudes is all focused on them. It's all about bringing people closer to Jesus. That's what we're all about. We're going to do it. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to endorse the prodigal behavior. I'm not going to endorse that. No, some Christians say. What if it's not true repentance? I'm not gonna celebrate it. I mean, this is the fifth time this happened. Listen, you're not the judge of true repentance or not. I'm not the judge of the true repentance. God is. And even God, although sometimes He knows that the person might fall, He will gladly, like it's the first time, come and embrace His son or daughter. That's who God is. That's how big His love is for us. We're not endorsing prodigal behavior right now. I'm not doing that. We never should approve sinful behavior. We don't endorse sinful behavior. We endorse repentance. We endorse repentance. New Life Church, we need to become a church who rejoices. And there's going to be some today who are going to come back to God. And we're going to rejoice and we're going to be so glad and we're going to be like, it doesn't matter how long it takes, we're just going to take care of them. We're going to carry the spiritual babies till they grow. We're going to tend sheep. Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Yeah, those people could be a project sometime. Yes, they could be a handful. But listen, God is patient. And we want to be, and we're gonna be patient. So all come to the knowledge of truth. Hallelujah. Because we were all once prodigal sons. In Luke 15:10 it says, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God for one sinner who repents. Listen to me. In the same way I tell you, this is Jesus, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. In Daniel 12:3, and those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. So if you had a part of turning somebody from a sinful lifestyle to righteous lifestyle, God is going to reward you forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know what that means. I don't know why it even matters in heaven to shine like a star. But I guess it matters to God. Imagine shining in heaven, bright, forever and ever and ever.